All right, hello everyone. So, first and most importantly, sorry, there's a typo on the slide. I cut and pasted for my other classes. Yeah, I got a lot of classes. So, you're welcome to come Monday at 3:30, but I'll probably be talking about optics, right? And lenses and stuff, or Tuesday at 3:30, right? So, you guys, I was going to do afterwards, Tuesday at 5. Right, will be the official review for 160. Right. F5 here, right? Same place, right? Now, if that doesn't work, and I realize it probably won't, I will be around all the time, both Monday and Tuesday. Right? So basically, anytime I am not reviewing, right, I'll be in my office here in Regner, and you can try to find me. Right? So, you guys, you know, you don't need that anyway. Right. Okay, one other thing, I need to be clear again. Shh. Right? Because next week, I don't want you coming back to me, either in person or email, saying, oh, but you promised that if I got a such and such on the final, right? Because it's right here on this sheet of paper. Right? Remember, right? Those numbers have changed. They were the numbers on Monday, right? If you do not do this last homework, those numbers will change, right? Those are not a promise, right? A couple points, okay? Not by much. It's not like they're going to, you know, change extremely unless you completely skip this, you know, 50-point homework assignment, okay? Then they will go way up, right? So they are not a promise. They're not a threat. But they're not a promise. Yes? Unless your exam average is higher than the homework on mastering, then yes, then that's a promise. Okay? But not even that. There's been a couple clicker questions since then as well. So, yes? Yes, you're allowed to have your notes on the final. Okay? Yes? Okay, so the written homework is rolled in with the mastering. So it's like an additional 5 points. So yeah, not much, but enough to make up. Right. Oh, is Tara here? Tara Weston, I have your test. Oh, well, she's not here. All right. Okay, now about that final, you'll want to hear this. All right. You will want to hear this, right? About the final, right? I'm sorry, but I have to be mean, right? The final is going to be big. It's going to be 15 questions. It is going to be a double test, okay? Right? The problem is, it's not a problem, right? This is just physics one, okay? I need to make sure that at least one time you were able to do a certain basic set of skills before I can send you off in good conscience to physics two, right? I mean, some of this, of course, is very self-serving. As you know, I'm teaching physics two over the summer, right? And I don't want you there if you haven't mastered certain basic skills, okay? I don't want to send you off to doctor, I think it's going to be Dr. Dunlap, right, in the fall in physics two, unless you have certain basic skills. So there is a large, right, review portion on this final exam, okay? Right. There will be, what did I decide in the end? Right. 10 review questions, multiple choice, right, from the following list of topics. Right. By the way, this is all also on the practice final that's been posted on the webpage. Right. So you can get this, and if somebody you know is not here, they can look at this as well to prepare. Vector addition. You got to be able to add vectors, right? To be able to do the electric and magnetic field stuff you're going to learn in physics too. Projectile motion, Newton's second law, conservation of energy with gravity, conservation of energy with springs, conservation of momentum, right? The relationship between linear and rotational quantities. That's a big one. Torque and Newton's second law, right? And finally, conservation of angular momentum. Okay. Those are the review topics. Okay. Now, I know that's a lot. I know it's a lot of questions. So, right, here's the way I'll try to make it, you know, a little bit more straightforward. I'm going to go back and look at our previous exams, right, and I will be taking questions from the previous exams and modifying them, okay, right, to make a problem that should be, right, familiar and fairly straightforward, right? Again, these are basic skills, so these are not going to be the challenge type problems that I might be inclined to ask, right, somebody, right, in a regular test. These are really going to be super basic skills, okay? That's 10 out of 15 multiple choice, okay? The remaining 5 multiple choice, right? And, okay, I'll make it this way. 1 written question only, right? Those will come from the new material since the last test. So that means Newton's law of gravity, right, and periodic motion. So all the stuff that's on this week's homework. So if you don't, basically if you don't review, let's put it really bluntly, if you don't review, you're screwed, right? If you don't do the new material, you're still screwed, because that's 2/3 of the test, right? So you can pull a D on the test if you don't learn the new material. You can pull a flat out F if you don't review, okay? So, right? Any questions about that? Right? The practice final has material on practice problems on the new material, the gravity and the periodic motion stuff, right? And that's it, because the review stuff is going to come from the previous exams. So dig out those previous exams, right? Try to find the problem that's about vector addition, right? That'll help you prepare for the final and so forth. Okay. Any questions? Well, we did the gravity stuff before. So no, it's chapters 13 and 14. No, that's going to be 5 questions on the final. 5 out of 15 is one. Yeah. Yeah. Just 5. I realize it's not a lot. So that's why it's an uneven split. Okay? Otherwise, I could have been like, hey, how about, you know, 10 review, 10 new. Nah, that wouldn't be doable. But all right. So as I said, this stuff, this information is on the practice final. I'll post the solutions for the practice final probably on Monday, maybe Tuesday. Okay? All right. Our exam, final exam, scheduled for Wednesday of exam week at 10 o'clock. Right. So come here an hour early compared to normal. Come here at 10. Don't come here at 11. I will shake my head if you show up at 11. Okay? Right. Final exam, you know, yes, open notes. Right. Yes, though, you should have an equation sheet. Because it's twice as long, which means you're probably still going to be, right, rushed for time. Right? So just prepare yourself mentally now. This is not the exam that you come in and 30 minutes later you're done and you're free. Right? I will break you before, right, you can... I'm much nicer in physics 2, by the way. But physics 1, as I said, right, I got to make sure you've mastered basic skills. Okay? Any other questions? All right. So just a little bit more, though. We'll be done. All right, this business about waves. Right. One more time. Right. So the wave, right, is the propagation of energy. Okay. Through something. That's what makes it a mechanical wave. Right. So the simplest type of wave, right, kind of like the ideal that we all approximate, you know, real life as being, right, would occur in the situation where this wave table is infinitely long, okay, and there was no friction on it. Okay. Because then if I set one of these rods into motion, it would stay in motion forever, okay, and it would undergo simple harmonic motion. Yes? Shh. If you need to leave now, leave. Right. Thank you. Right. So if I look at one of these rods, one point on the medium, okay, and I make a picture of what it looks like as a function of time, right, its height, right, I will get this sinusoidal picture that we saw for simple harmonic motion. And I, from that, can get the period for the motion, the time from peak to peak. Okay. And so if you remember, for any point on the medium, when I make the same picture, I get the same basic shape, the sinusoidal, and this perfect no-friction situation, the period will have the same value. So any point on the medium, any one of these rods, after I set them into motion, right, they will all have the same period. So that becomes one characteristic of this wave. Right? What is the period with which every point on the medium oscillates? Okay. So you talk about the period of the wave. Right. Again, it means about the points. Right. If I make a different picture, though, if I get all of these rods into motion, right, and I take a snapshot of the wavetable, and I make a plot of where, at what point in the cycle, basically, what is the heights of all the different rods at the different locations, I again get another sine or cosine graph. Okay. This is why we use this term propagation. We say energy propagates through a medium because it causes this repeated motion in both time and space, which I know sounds cool and Doctor Who-ish, but it's not really. It's just, we're saying if I look at one of the rods, I get a sine or cosine. Right? But if I look at all the rods simultaneously at one instant of time, I again get a sine or cosine graph. A different one, though. They look, they're different information. They're the two pieces. Right? So physically, what we can find is every rod has a soulmate. It has another rod somewhere down the table where these two are always in sync with each other, always at the same point in the cycle. And then that starts to repeat. Right? Soulmate, 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 soulmate. Okay? Lovely, remember? Right? Right? And so the distance between the soulmates, easiest to find by looking peak to peak, Again, any two points here, we could measure the distance between them, and find the wave's length, or the wavelength. How far apart are the synchronized points on the medium? And that becomes the second characteristic of a wave. Every wave has a period. If I look at one of these rods and I measure the period, I get the same value. The second characteristic is the wavelength. How far apart are the points that are in sync with each other? Points nearby, different point in the cycle, out of phase with each other. But over a long enough distance, we'll get repeated behavior in the wavelength. And these two together, they determine what's called the wave's speed. So the wave speed, first of all, let me tell you what it's not. It's not how fast the rods go up and down. That has to do with the period. The wave speed is how quickly is the energy propagating through the material. So if you remember this, 1,001, 1,002, roughly, right? It took 2 seconds, roughly, for the energy to start here, the kinetic energy, and travel over here. So if I take the length of this table, the distance from right to left, how far it is, and I divide by that 2 seconds, what sort of quantity do I get? Meters per second, right? I get a speed. That's the speed we're talking about. Right? How long does it take the energy, right? If you're looking at a wave coming at you, how long does it take for it to reach you? Okay. Right. So basically we have these two things here. We have a period, we have a time, right? And we have a wavelength, right? The distance between peaks. Okay. Right. And you can go through this in all the mathy detail if you really want to, but if you just had to guess, right? If I have a distance and I have a time, right? And then all the mathy stuff is supposed to convince you that, yeah, the energy propagates one wavelength in a time of one period. Right? How do I take these two to make a speed? Right? I divide them. Right? The wavelength divided by the period, lambda over capital T, will give you the speed, right? In meters per second. Or, right, if you so prefer, it's nice because it fits on one line. Right? Remember this quantity called the frequency, which is simply the inverse of the period. Right? And so you can write it as wavelength times frequency. The same basic information. Okay. So, all waves, mechanical or not, they all have a wave speed. Even this non-mechanical wave, which hopefully you'll get a chance to study after you do physics 2, right? What's the example of a non-mechanical wave? Light, right? Even light has a finite propagation speed, right? Does anybody know how long it takes light from the sun to reach the earth? About 8 minutes, that's right. So if the sun were to blow up now, you'd have 8 minutes to live it up, right? So, because the energy of the light wouldn't stop for 8 minutes. And to give you an idea of how big this universe of ours is, right? Do you know how long it takes the next nearest star's light to reach us?
4.3 years.
Yeah, about 4 years. Okay. The universe is a big place. That light has been moving through space for 4 years. Okay. And that's the next nearest one. Most stars, 50, 100, 1,000, a million years for the light to reach us. So when we look up in the sky, we're seeing things how they were a million years ago, right? That's million-year-old light, okay? So I'll leave you with this thought. It either makes you feel really, really important or really, really bad. When you look up at the sky at night, that light that's been traveling for a million years, it goes into your eye and you stop it, right? Right? You killed the million-year-old light, right? It would have just kept going. No, that's a lie, all right? It would have hit the ground next to you and stopped, all right? So try to appreciate it for, right, that it's been going on for a million years, all right? Any questions? Okay, so that's all I got. Dr. Saul is here to guinea pig you guys, right? Sorry, right? I will be available after class for any questions you may have. And if I don't see you at the review, I will see you on Wednesday.